is the Sensitive CEO Show, igniting sensitive entrepreneurs to grow your heart-centered business. I'm your host, Rose Cox, and this podcast shares with you inspiring and thought-provoking conversations for sensitive entrepreneurs wanting to grow a sustainable online business in a way that feels exciting and aligned with your soul. Along with my carefully curated expert guests, we share science-backed advice, proven strategies, and the systems we use to succeed in our businesses and our lives as highly sensitives, introverts, and empaths. And by the way, if you would like to be updated on when each episode is released, feel free to subscribe to the Short and Sweet newsletter. You'll also get weekly recommendations and tips, especially for HSPs, empaths, and introverts. To subscribe, pop on over to the website sensitiveceo.show or rosecox.com/pod. Now on to today's show. Hey, it's Rose, and welcome to another episode of the Sensitive CEO Show. And in this week's episode, it's my absolute pleasure to introduce you to Jessie Michelle Agadoni. Jessie is a natural sensitive guide and restorative healer. And I'm going to hand it over to Jessie to introduce herself. And welcome, Jessie. It's lovely to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rose. It's an honor to be here.
So share with the audience a little bit about your background, please, and what it is that you do.
Yes. So my background professionally is in nutritional therapy, functional nutritional therapy. I, as many healers do, came into this work through my own body, through my own healing. And I learned probably about, gosh, the years keep expanding, but around 2016 is when I discovered that I was a highly sensitive person. And also, you know, within that world, empathic and introverted. And through learning those labels and all that comes with it, the traits, I really began to understand my uniqueness and why I wasn't healing like everyone else around me was. So as I dove into the world of, you know, starting with nutritional therapy, from there it just expanded. And now I have so many different modalities. It would take me our whole episode to list all of them. But I really fell in love with working with fellow sensitives because I realized that the way that I had learned to heal myself was very unique and that my fellow sensitives aligned with that way. I wasn't alone in going to the doctor, even a holistic alternative doctor, and not being fully understood and feeling like the supports were too aggressive. So for me, that's become my big passion, is just serving my sensitive community from the angle of the body. And, you know, of course, wrapped up in that, I've gotten so passionate about, you know, the emotional health as well, because I believe emotions are the language of the body. And so to me, they go hand in hand. And so my practice has become more and more unique every day as I expanded, and it just becomes more holistic, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. But yeah, my passion is just really helping my fellow sensitives rebuild their body, rebuild their calm and their resilience for sustainable health, so that we're not constantly dealing with chronic illnesses or feeling like our nervous system is out of balance every single day. So it's really, I'm here to help teach that and also embody it myself, right? It's a constant journey.
Beautiful. I love that. And I have to say, I love, we were introduced recently from a mutual friend of ours, Emma Louise. And I think one of the biggest things I love when I discovered that I was highly sensitive, which was only in 2021, is the connections that I've made around the world with. And we now have a lot of mutual friends over the past few months, haven't we? And I just think the connections in our space is so special.
It really is. Yeah. And I think it's because we see the world differently. Yeah. And as a result, we have to live differently. And that can feel so isolating and so lonely. And so when we meet someone that gets it, there's this instant chemistry of, oh my gosh, you understand. Like, I don't have to explain all of this to you. You just know.
Yeah, it's like coming home, isn't it?
Oh, it is like coming home. That's a beautiful way of describing it.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you use the term natural sensitive. Can you talk a little bit about that, Jessie?
Yes, I'd love to. Disrupting the system a little. So much respect for Dr. Lane Aaron, who came up with the term highly sensitive person. This is just my own personal take. So I've found in my industry specifically, since I'm in the health world, that the term sensitive is just used so flippantly now, where it's like food sensitivities, you know, aroma sensitivities, allergies, all these things. And it really gives, or I should say it adds to this negative tone, this negative undertone almost to the word sensitive. And I just wasn't here for that. I said, no, like this is a gifting, you know, and I don't want there to be any of this like, oh, I'm sensitive, or, oh, you know, like all this apologizing for it. So I really just, it came to me one day of just this idea of, no, I'm a natural sensitive. Like, this is just who I am. And the big difference there is, you know, within the health world, you can develop sensitivities. So that's something that happens through an imbalance in the body, or through trauma is another way that you can develop sensitivities, emotional sensitivities. But then there's those of us that have innate sensitivity. So developed sensitivity versus innate sensitivity. And innate is a word that I just don't feel like people immediately understand. Whereas natural, it's like, oh, you naturally have that. That's something that you're born with. Okay, I get that. And it just sounded more positive to me. And when I just started using it in my practice, all of my highly sensitive people were like, oh, I love that term. I'm a natural sensitive, like capital N, capital S, you know, that's me. And it just feels stronger. It feels good. It feels healthy. It feels like something you can get behind. Whereas highly sensitive person, again, not saying you shouldn't use that term, but I just sense our culture has some negativity around it. Like, oh yeah, okay, sure, you know? And also, I think sometimes it can get confused with, you know, being on the autism spectrum. And I know there can be overlaps for different people, but in general, having the sensory processing sensitivity trait does not mean that you have any sort of, you know, that you're just not on that spectrum or any sort of disorder. There's nothing wrong with you. And that was another big thing. There's nothing wrong with you. This is natural, right? So that's my little personal take on it. If that aligns with anyone that's listening, feel free to use it. I find that it helps me describe it to people when they ask me about it, of like, yeah, this is actually different. This isn't something I need to fix. We all have developed sensitivities. That's normal. That's being human. That's conditioning, to use human design language, right? And that is something that we're invited in our lifetime to heal and to clear. And I think that's beautiful and necessary. But underneath that, at the foundation, if you're an HSP, if you have sensory processing sensitivity, you have natural sensitivity that's not going to go away. And it's going to express itself in a unique manner, right? All of us, like you and I, Rose, we're both natural sensitives, but it's going to show up a little bit differently. Like, there's this little subtleties, you know, that of how it's expressed. So that's always fun to explore too.
Oh, I love it. I love the differentiation. And I love that term. I was, as soon as I saw it on your website just before we met, it just aligned. It felt so good. So I'll be using it a little bit more as well.
Please do. Yeah.
Now that we've all got permission.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we're talking about boundaries today and building an inner circle as a natural sensitive. So can you share with everyone a little bit about boundary creation to start with?
Yes. So this is obviously a huge topic. So I always like to say, like, we may not cover everything, but boundaries, I think, are a very trendy topic, but not often is it discussed the complications of actually doing it, right? Like, everyone's like, you need to have boundaries. Great. But when you actually start to do it, you're like, wait, how do I do this? How do I communicate this? How do I actually hold these? And what I found, again, it's unique for sensitives, right? Because we're such tender spirits, the idea of the basic of no can be really challenging. The basic of saying, I've given enough and I'm not going to give any more, of saying my time is valuable. And if I want to use it to lay on my bed and do nothing, I am worthy of that. And that's just as valuable as meeting you for coffee, you know? And so there's, I think a lot of boundary work comes back to self-value and understanding that if you sit on a couch all day versus go out and serve the homeless, you have the same value. If you have zero money in your bank account or you're a billionaire, you have the same value. Like your value doesn't shift based on your circumstances or how much you give or how much you take. It's based purely on you being human. And so once you can kind of start to grapple with that, start to honor that, boundaries naturally come forward. So I will say, if you're trying to establish boundaries without honoring who you are, it can be a bit tricky. Yeah. And sometimes the reality of life is that you do both at the same time and it's a little messy, right? So with setting boundaries though, the first thing is really starting to recognize what you actually need. And that is unique to everyone. I'll use myself as an example. I'm an introvert, empathic, natural sensitive. So I need a lot of alone time, a lot of alone time, way more than the normal person would think is healthy. In fact, I've had a lot of people in my life tell me that there's something wrong with me because of how much alone time I need. And for a long time, I received that as a negative comment. And now I go, that's right, because I'm unique and that's what I need. So if that doesn't work for you, then perhaps this relationship, you know, is it going to be sustainable? And I've taken me a lot of years to be able to come to a place to like own that. But honoring what it is that you need, that's the first, is awareness of what you need. And then the second step is gently starting to respect that. And I always say, start with the people you trust. Like, don't go out there starting to hold a boundary with the person you're most scared of. Like, that's not, you know, it's not going to go well. So start like with me. I've been married for 11 years now. I have an incredible husband who's my best friend. He's the person I trust most in the world. He's the one I would start with. If I have a new boundary I've discovered, I'll use myself as an example. I've known this one for a long time, that as sensitives, we need a lot of sleep. And for me, it's between 8 to 11 hours. That's what I found for most sensitives. But I'm horrible at honoring that. I'm usually like right at 6 or 7. And this year I said, that's it. I'm doing 8 or more unless it's some crazy emergency or something. And so I need to communicate to my husband, hey, I may be in bed longer. Doesn't mean anything's wrong with me. Doesn't mean I'm sick. Doesn't mean I'm being lazy. Like, this is something I'm setting. And that is a way that, you know, number one, I communicate my boundary. Mm-hmm. And number two, I start with someone that will be like, oh, I understand your overall mission in life. I understand your value. I understand who you are. What you're trying to accomplish is to be a healthy whole person. And I will respect that. I may not understand it because I don't need as much sleep. I can, you know, go, go, go. He's a generator. So, you know, he can go forever. Bless his soul. But I, you know, as a manifester, especially, I need so much sleep. And it paves the way for me to step into it, because the truth is I'm still dealing with feelings of, am I worthy of laying in bed this long? I'm a grown ass adult and I'm still staying in bed till 8:30 in the morning. What are people going to judge me? What if a neighbor pops by and they're like, you're still in your jammies? You know, like I'm thinking of all these crazy ideas of people that are going to judge me, right? And that's the reality of setting a boundary. You're hearing all these voices in your head and you're navigating like, okay, this is who I want to be. That's what could happen. That's who I am. And you're kind of in this weird transition zone. So communicating the boundary, doing it with someone you trust that will kind of help to be that like, hey, I get it. Stay. When on those mornings where you start to say, oh, I feel so guilty. And they're like, stop it. You already told me what you were doing. So that can be a really safe kind of cocoon or capsule to start playing with boundaries and doing it with something that's not really challenging. Like, maybe, you know, sleeping in isn't hard for you. It's really hard for me, but starting with something simple and then working your way up to those much bigger things that are down the line of like that childhood friend from elementary school that you know shouldn't be in your life, that's very negative and doesn't understand you and drains you, but they look to you as their one best friend, you know, and that's like the biggest moment in your life is to be able to say, hey, I don't think this is working, you know, like I'm going to need some space, and maybe it's not returning their calls after a while and kind of communicating and letting it dissipate. That's a whole nother situation, but you're not going to start there. Please start small, be gentle with yourself. And over time, your personal capacity will expand. Your courage, your strength, your know will become more solid. You will trust yourself. And that's a big part of it too, is building self-trust. Like if you say you're going to set a boundary and then you don't do it, then you're telling your body that you don't trust. You know, it doesn't create this consistency. So start small. And then I promise it may take a couple years. It may take 10 years. Everyone's different, where you get to the point where you can do those really hard conversations. And it's okay if those linger. You know, it's okay that you have the occasional relationship or thing that's not great. And awareness will grow and it'll get to the point where finally you're ready. And you're like, I will not do that. I will not put up with this any longer. My worth, my value, my health, my energy, my capacity is so much more important now than making this person feel good. And I trust that I've learned how to communicate well. I know how to do this gently and kindly. And then that's it. I'm not responsible for their reaction. And that's a really powerful place.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Well, when you share that, it just feels very empowered the way that you said that, because it's all about honoring yourself, isn't it? Or I guess, yeah, it can take a while to build it up. For those of us in business, sensitive CEOs, how would you take that into the business realm with clients and I guess colleagues as well?
Such a good question. So I've personally had to experience that. So when I first started my practice, I was so available. So available for anything and everyone. And I think that's kind of part of starting out, but I was far too available. And so I didn't honor and respect my downtime. And energetically, it drained me. And within a year, I was like, oh, can't do this. Like, I can't sustain this. Business must not be for me. But actually, it had to do with how I was doing business. And so that was my first of many restructures. And I started saying, okay, it was simply putting out a message. I have a chat available to my clients in my portal system. And I simply said, you know, so if you use Voxer or Slack, whatever it is you use, I set a standard and I communicated, these are my hours that I'm available. Outside of that, you know, I will not see it. So just know that. But within these hours, I will respond as soon as I am able. And then as I grew, I started to add little things in there, like, just like I encourage you to honor your time, this is how I'm honoring my time, as a reminder that, hey, this is like quipoquo, you know, like we both live the same way. I'm embodying what I'm teaching you. So just like I encourage you not to be boundaryless and to be used by people, I'm not going to let you do that, you know, with me, or I'm going to hold that so that you don't have that worry either. So that was my first establishment. And then it was really arranging. It's a lot about time when it comes to business, right? Time. So establishing time of when I see clients, when I don't see clients, being very strict about that. And I would say the other piece was the energetic and the emotional, because for me, my little empathic heart wants to carry, you know, the emotions of my clients, wants to hold them, wants to fix. And when I was a young practitioner, I tried. Oh, and it wasn't good. You know, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it just, for me, it wasn't good. And I was drowning in, you know, all of my clients' worries and problems. And I was like laying awake at night. And this is really common when you're working one-on-one with clients or even in group settings, we can merge. That's the term I like to use with our clients, even physically. So for me, since I'm working with people that are ill, I would actually express their symptoms, which that was not fun. And I started noticing, I was like, that's odd. I don't normally, I've never had that a symptom before, whether it was a rash or something. And then I was like, that's crazy. That's what my client was talking about yesterday. And then it started happening over and over and over again to the point I was like, this is real. Like, this is happening. And so I had to learn how to create a healthy boundary. And one of the ways I did it was switching to virtual. I used to see clients in person, and I decided a boundary that I needed to create was virtual, because then I could have pre and post clearance and their energy wasn't necessarily as strongly in the room for me. A lot of my healing abilities are actually physical touch. And so I had a lot of fear around stepping away from that, but I found that it's still just as magnetic, but I'm not as drained. Because when I do physically touch people, it really can be very powerful, but it also zaps me. So little things like that, that are just decisions of how generous I am with my gifting. Like, that's my choice. And I save my touch gifting for those that are in my like real-time life, you know, and for people that are in my inner circle. But my clients still get a huge part of me, just not all of me. And I think that was a big difference.
Yeah, so that's huge. And I went through a really similar thing when I started this business with RTT and hypnosis. I used to have a clinic in town, and I was actually quite pleased with COVID, I guess, that I could no longer
work. Weren't we all?
Yeah. And I still worked a lot on Zoom, even though I had the clinic. But when I could no longer work in the clinic, it was a bit of a blessing in many ways, because like you, I take on so much energy and I just want to give and give. And working online with RTT, the same with energy work, is just the same as in person. And I found it just as effective, but it actually felt easier for me to cope with. And I was able to, well, I still do this in between calls, client calls. I go out and stand in the grass and ground myself and sort of clean my aura between clients. And I think all of that helps as well, having those little rituals.
Yeah, for me, it's washing my feet. Taking a full shower. There's something about washing my feet. It also brings back nice, if it's winter, it makes them warm again.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, there's just something about it. It just kind of cleanses for me. And yeah, there's so many different practices, but I find that it has just gotten a lot easier. And I think what's important too, as being a leader, being a guide, being a CEO, is being able to stay grounded in who you are while serving the client. Because if you're merging too much, you're actually getting lost in their chaos, and you're not able to bring a sense of peace and hope and optimism and that outside perspective, which is really what they came to you for. So yes. If you're not able to do that, it's going to mess with your ability to provide the results that they're seeking. So I think that's a big part of it too.
I love that. So Jessie, can you share how having these boundaries and a healthy inner circle allows us as sensitives to have a really calm and resilient body?
Yes, that's my specialty. So when we create those boundaries, and you know, with the inner circle, it's surrounding yourself with people that honor those boundaries. And often they are sensitive themselves, right? Because they just get it. But you know, choosing how large or small, for me, that inner circle sometimes is literally just my husband if it's a really challenging season. And other times it'll expand and include others as well. But establishing that, it really allows you, your body, to know that the world is safe and that it can, it's all about trust. If your body trusts you to take care of it, it doesn't have to go into what I call the alarm mode. And for most of us are familiar at this point with the fight or flight, you know, or freeze technically, but that sympathetic state of the autonomic nervous system versus the parasympathetic state of the autonomic nervous system, which both are alarm and calm. And it's really that simple. The body can't be in both at the same time. So if we're wanting to live our life in the calm mode, which is where we restore, which is where we detox, it's where we digest, it's where we are optimal physically, that's where we have health, long-term health and acute short-term health, then we have to switch out of that alarm mode. And as sensitives, we naturally find ourselves in the alarm mode simply by like walking outside. It gets so easy for us to go into that stress mode, is another way to describe it.
Yeah.
There's so many different terms. And so it's really, if we build the boundaries with our time, we build the boundaries with those that are in our lives, in our business, we naturally create this beautiful environment and structure, whether it's loose or tight, up to you, that allows our body to feel at ease. And when those moments come, as they will, that are not, that do switch you into that alarm mode, you've had so much time in the calm mode that you've built up resilience that you can navigate those moments of alarm, because they're not your everyday. They're the once a week or even maybe once a month. And so it's not as challenging. You might feel fluttered. You might have whatever, you know, response you personally have, but you're able to come back into your body because the body knows, oh, this is just a moment. This isn't my everyday, versus, oh, this is my everyday and the calm is a moment. And that's the difference that can be created over time by creating an environment that's healthy. We know now that our genes, our DNA is directly impacted by our environment. It's called epigenetics, right? So we are not victims of our genes. we are actually directly in control because we get to choose the environment that's around us. And our environment is what activates or deactivates any sort of genetic mutation. And that's a whole nother conversation, but you can literally turn off genes that create illness in your body, and you can turn them on by how you live your life. And so as sensitives, I would say, are we more prone to disease? Not necessarily, but we can be have a tendency towards that alarm mode, which can then create, you know, that chronic illness situation, especially if we aren't able to build the environment that will support us back into calm mode. So the main takeaways I would say is boundaries are not just about you. You know, they're about creating an entire environment that will support you. And I promise you, it will bless everyone around you when you do it. They may not like it at first, and they may push back. In fact, they probably will, but hold your ground and explain to them why. Give them the big picture. And if they love you, if they are meant to be in your inner circle, this is the inner circle test. Yeah. If they say, I get it, I love you, I will support you, bring him in, keep him in that inner circle, and you'll be able to continue to grow and expand in that way. And the body will become stronger and stronger and stronger over time because you are blessing it with the sleep, the space, the energetic freedom, the grounding. Everyone's different in what they need, but whatever it is that creates your calm mode that allows you to function normally every single day instead of going into flight or fight or alarm mode and panicking and demolishing or ignoring all the normal functions that are needed. And that's really what creates health. Like, that's what we know now. Science is recognizing that finally. And so it's, you know, all the work that you do with hypnosis too is such a huge part of bringing the body, the subconscious, into that state of calm. And that's really what builds health over time. So yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that there's a lot of the world needs more calm. It's just been a bit hectic and anxious. And I think, yeah, it's so needed.
So yes.
And you have a beautiful calm method, authentic calm method. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So as I said, I've had the honor of working with sensitives for over 4 years now. And my one-on-one is very special and very unique. And I've come to recognize the value of it. That took time too. And now it's at a price point that not everyone is ready for, which I 100% understand, but also I recognize my value. And so what I wanted to do was create a system that anyone really could access. And also just kind of almost create like a library of resources. And so I created the Authentic Calm Method, which is simply a system that allows you to create your own calm and gives you some options to play with. But it's not a system that forces you into my way, which is really important to me. It gives you what I call a loose structure. I have three layers. It's reconnection, rhythm, and remedy. So reconnection is an option of how to come back into your body, because a lot of us as sensitives disconnect from our body for many reasons. And then the second layer is rhythm. And that's where we learn how to live a lifestyle that supports sensitivity, which is exactly what we were just talking about, creating an environment that creates resilience. And then the third are remedies. And these are sensitive, safe tools that you can use to support overall health. So things from digestive activation to learning how to breathe from all sorts of different tools. And I actually keep adding and building. I've created a beginner. Now there's an intermediate. There's going to be advanced level. So it's basically these little libraries that you can go in and go, that one feels aligned to me. That one that matches who I am. And just to play and choose what sticks with you for the long term. But it allows you to create your own reconnection, your own rhythm, and your own toolkit of remedies that align with you. And I think a lot of us do that in general, but this is for those that really like a little bit of structure. It helps you do that. And for anyone that feels like, if you're listening, you're like, oh, I feel like she's similar to me personality-wise. Like, I connect with that, whether we're the same human design or not, you know, whatever it is, like you feel like you're similar to me, then what I've established works for me or works for those that align with me may work for you. And it can be a shortcut of saying, I don't have to try all 100 of the modalities. I'll try these 5. And within those 5, 2 of them really sit, you know, really make me feel calm, make me feel grounded. And over time, that builds my resilience. And that is what builds health long term. So that's what the method's all about. And it's all online and it's a lifetime access, which I think is important.
Yeah.
Because I just like to keep adding to it. I'm never done.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'll be popping a link to that in the show notes along with where people can find you and your awesome podcast, the Authentic Calm podcast. And when you were talking then, I was just thinking, just listening to your voice makes me calm. You've got such a beautiful, calming voice.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And for those listening, Rose came on my podcast, so you'll have to listen to that episode too.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
Well, before thank you we wrap up, me. I have one more question that I ask all of my podcast guests. When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do?
Well, the thing I always go to, and this is what started the whole method, is my reconnection practice. And it's simply, I'll describe it. It's easy to do. I basically place my hands on certain parts of my body, starting with the head, over the eyes, under the chin, over the heart, and I go over the abdomen, and I move through these different parts of my body. And what it does is it brings me back into my bones. It brings me back into my body, because as a sensitive, I tend to live in the 4D, 5D world. I tend to leave my body all the time and live in the ethers. And what the reconnection does for me, this practice, is it allows me to come back into my 3D body and be grateful for it. And remember what it's doing for me. Remember that this is where I'm supposed to be. This is the present moment. And there's so many things in the moment, whether it's, you know, expressing gratitude for each part of my body, whether it's inviting in healing for each part of my body, whether it's inviting in the divine into each part of my body. There's so many things you can use and insert. It's kind of a take on acupressure meets Reiki meets so many different modalities I've experienced over time. It just kind of turned into this thing that I did all the time. And then I was like, oh, I'm just going to call this the reconnection. But I can do it short or long. And it's something I always joke, I do this in airports. Like, you can do it anywhere, like literally sitting on the toilet. Like, I'm in the little stall doing it because it doesn't require anything and it can be done in 5 minutes, or you can really make it long and luxurious. But it just always does it for me. It always brings me back into my body, which is what I personally always need when I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I love that. And thank you so much, Jessie, for coming on the episode today. It's been wonderful to talk with you.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rose. I love being on.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Sensitive CEO Show. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you think it would be useful to someone else, please leave me a review on sensitiveceo.show. Just follow the prompt in the menu. Each month, I'm offering one lucky reviewer a chance to win a 1-hour business and mindset audit with me. This in-depth audit covers the 5 pillars of your online business, and you'll walk away with super clear action steps specifically for you and your business. You'll be re-energized and motivated to step into your greatness. You'll also find all of the show notes for each episode on the website sensitiveceo.show. And while you're there, make sure you subscribe to the short and sweet newsletter. You'll get weekly recommendations and tips, especially for HSPs, empaths, and introverts. And as the name implies, the email is short and sweet. The Sensitive CEO Show, igniting your sensitive superpowers. Mm-hmm.